We come here expecting to receive from you this evening. Not expecting to receive the intelligence of man, the wisdom of man, but to receive from our Father in heaven who promises us only good things, Lord. And so we're looking for the good things tonight that you have for us, that we can unravel out of this evening together with you. Whatever hidden treasures might lie in this evening together with you as we gather corporately, we say, God, we're going to find the pearl of great price in the midst of all that's happening in our life tonight. We take time to seek out the pearl of great price. And so we say, come, Lord Jesus, come. We're looking for you tonight to do the impossible, to do the miraculous, Lord. To heal the sick and to raise the dead, to open blind eyes, to bring provision where it's needed in the earth tonight. Declare that we are your church alive, performing these feats in the earth. The greater works that you speak of, we declare we will not redefine the gospel because we haven't seen them thus yet. But we will continue to pursue you. We will continue to seek you out until these things begin to manifest all around us. In this region, Lord, we push back the forces of darkness and the principalities and powers of evil. And we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against these principalities and powers. And we declare that the blood of Jesus makes us alive and gives us the victory in Christ Jesus. So if there be any in here tonight who are wrestling for their healing, God, we declare that Christ Jesus was the substitution for us. He provided us the healing virtue of the cross. Heaven's residue now available to those who believe by faith in the atoning work of Jesus Christ. That's what we believe today. So we speak peace in this room tonight. Thank you for your presence, Lord Jesus. We give you praise tonight, and we're expecting, Lord. We're expecting, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Why don't you go ahead and greet your neighbor tonight as you're seated. If this is your first or second time with us and you've never registered, welcome to Church on the North Coast. I am Pastor Troy Thompson, the assistant pastor, along with Pastor Tossie. Pastor Caden's not with us tonight. I'll be sitting in his stead. And welcome this evening. I believe that the Lord has a word for you tonight. Well, we've invited his presence, so we'll just go ahead and get started. If you guys have that image, can you put it on the screens for me? The story of this painting is that the gentleman that painted it, it was being admired by another artist. And F.W. Borman tells the story in one of his books. I can't remember which one, but he tells the story of how this artist one day was gazing upon it. And he became so immersed in it, so engrossed in it, that he didn't move for hours. He just sat there for hours and stared at it. And stared at it. And the story goes on to say that eventually, that this man, by gazing at this picture, became so engrossed in it that it became real to him. And he did something very strange. Now, the name of this painting, or the theme of it, is rain. And so, what this man did, this other artist, what he did was, he had an umbrella in his hand. As he stood there gazing at it, he suddenly took out his umbrella and he opened it. He was gazing at it. And as I heard that story, I thought, God, how true is this? How true is this that you want your creation to paint such a picture of the realities of Christ that we begin to react and manifest the spoken word of the Lord. And that's what he did. And tonight, what I would like to do is just give you all an umbrella and have you gaze upon this picture until suddenly it becomes so real to you that you feel like it's about to rain on you. So you open your umbrella until the word of the Lord becomes so real, such a reality that you begin to react in the physical realm. Now, this painting was somebody else's creation. It was somebody else's gift and talent that they put to work to display the glory of God. And it so inspired this artist that he reacted. Can I tell you, that's the word of the Lord tonight over your life. That what God has spoken over you is not accidental. It's a reality. And he wants you to begin to walk in the reality and begin to manifest in the physical realm and respond to what has been spoken over your life. Now we have a challenge. See, the challenge is this. What do we know what God has spoken over our life? The title of my message tonight is Fighting with God. Fighting with God. I have to, if you're watching by internet, and if you're in this room tonight, I have to warn you, there is some censorship that is attached to this message. You know, when your kids go and buy games, there's these ratings on them, or you get movies, there's ratings. Now, this what you're about to see tonight has a rating in the kingdom that is explicit. It might offend you. Kwasi, I'm going to talk about identity. Tell them. It might offend them a little bit. Just a little bit. It might hurt up front, but it's beneficial. You go to the doctor, this is going to pinch, but it's good for you. This medicine will heal. It will heal us. And when I receive this message, I just give it to you like that. Because understand that when the word of the Lord comes forward here in a little while, it has a rating attached to it. So don't yell at me later, okay? Don't take me and pull, one somebody pulled me aside the other day and said, your words were harsh. I said, they weren't my words. It wasn't me. I just requoted scripture. You know how preachers do. I just said, this is what the word says. And so that's all I did. So I just wanted to put that. There's some disclaimers sometimes that you might need to put out there. That was my disclaimer for tonight. If I offend you, good. First Corinthians 12:7 says this. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. You hear that? The manifesting of his Spirit is given to each individual for the profit of everyone else. You know the number one question I get in the kingdom. Troy, how come? Now, this, you don't ask me this no more, okay? Don't ask me, because you act as if I have the answer. You know, and if you've been asked, you've probably been asked this question too. And if you had the answer, you would give it. You know, if I had the answer, I would give it. Troy, when are we going to begin to manifest these greater works of Christ that the Bible speaks of? Anybody been asked that question ever besides me? And all the pastors, raise a hand. Yeah. I don't know when. This much I do know, though. Church, listen. This much I'm confident of. That the equation and the answer is right. He is the Alpha and Omega, and he's correct. That means the equation's not wrong and the answer's not wrong. He is all in all, and he is correct. Now, I'm not going to redefine a gospel because I can't manifest it according to my standards. I must keep the standard of the Lord and then continue to walk in faith by what He says and then expect the manifestation of the Spirit to come alive. I can't dumb it down because it doesn't fit. I can't redefine it because it's not being communicated the way that I see it being said in the Word. The answer is I don't know, but I do know that the system is not broke. It must be us, huh? You know, the church does not listen. There's the explicit part. Forgive me, but the church does not suck. You do. No, I'm just listen. There ain't nothing broke with what Jesus did. We're broke. Something wrong with us. There's a problem in the equation, between the equation and the answer, that we just don't get. So there ain't no sense in us trying somehow to redefine it to make it make sense. It's not, you know, the kingdom is not boring. We are. Huh? If you got children that think the kingdom is boring, you are boring. If you got children who can't stand the kingdom because they think it's goofy, you're goofy. If they think it's stupid and unintelligent, you must be stupid and unintelligent. Look, I know that's offensive, but you can't redefine it because you can't somehow make it work the way you know it should be working. And I'm just tired of it. I'm sick and tired of it. Look at me. I can't take another one of those questions. I don't know. But what I do know is don't you dare criticize me, because I've got my weapon and I'm standing the post. I'm faithful to my ministry. I'm a little weary of those who are questioning me as if I'm not the one. And maybe you are too, as if, hey, look, don't ask me. I'm faithful in what God's called me to do. But if it's broke, hey, I can't blame the system. I can't blame the church. It must be me. It must be us. There must be something wrong with the product that's existing. The world is in such a fit to market to the product of you. If I was to ask questions in here on politics, now we all wouldn't know them. If I was to ask questions in here on history, well, we all wouldn't know them. But if I was to ask you tonight what the Coca-Cola symbol looks like, we would all know. If I was to say to you tonight, you know, what's the number one coffee brand in America? Well, we would all know that Starbucks is number one. If I was, you know, because there's a marketing strategy to win the product of you and me in this earth. And we have to examine our lives. Church, we have to do this. We have to examine our lives and say, is there something wrong with the cake called me? Has there been something added to the product of me that the Lord would not be pleased with and that I know is not producing the results that He put down for me, and therefore I'm miserably attempting to reflect what He meant for me to reflect in the earth? There's something, I mean, if we're honest, we would say there is some ingredients that I've added extra biblically to my life. You know, I added a little bit of this, I had a little bit of that, I had a little bit of this, I had a little bit of that, and then I got the audacity to say, why is this thing not working? Why? I baked a cake the other day with my little girl. She loves to bake cakes. I hate to bake cakes. You know, she bakes them. You know how she bakes them? She gets up on the counter. Daddy put all that stuff in there. And then she just eats it all before she sticks her finger in there and everything. We baked this cake. It was terrible. It was just horrible. I don't know what we forgot to add, or I don't know if it wasn't in the oven long enough. But when we took it out, it looked smelled good, looked good. About 15 minutes later, what up with the cake? Something went wrong in the equation. Something went terribly wrong. So are we allowing influences to pollute the product that God originally created? Now I want you to go. Let's go to Genesis 27. Hold your finger there, and let's go back to this 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 12 says, "The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." He says so much here, Paul does. So then, the manifesting of God's Spirit is given to you individually, but it profits every one of us corporately. Is that an accurate interpretation of that scripture? So then, God manifests through the individual for the benefit of the corporate. Then it's essential that it would be essential. Elders, listen to me. It would be essential for every one of us to manifest individually what God is speaking. Because I receive from the manifestation of you. And if you don't manifest, I don't receive. Worship leaders, listen. If you don't manifest, I don't receive. Those of you with the gift of healing, if you don't manifest, I don't receive. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you don't have the confidence to manifest the Creator inside of you, so that way I receive corporately from the Creator inside of you as the Spirit leads, then I walk away empty and cheated. I walk away with pockets empty when I was supposed to walk away with a manifestation of the Spirit that was supposed to come through you. But you know what? You have an identity crisis, so you fail to step forward and give what the Lord has put in your pockets. No, now because you are insecure in who God made you to be, now I don't get what God had intended for me. So people stroll in and they come in wheelchairs and they come up to the front and they're looking for a manifestation of the Spirit. They're looking for the Spirit to manifest the presence of the kingdom. It's essential. And I say, elders, it's essential that we raise up. We must raise up a confident and secure church so that way they know who they are. They know that when the Spirit speaks, they identify His voice. They step forward in obedience without the intimidation of man. Because, you know, when the Spirit speaks, it trumps the intimidation of man. And you begin to manifest what the Spirit is saying to the corporate kingdom of the living God. But what we must do is raise a generation that knows who they are. Now, let's go to Genesis 27. You know this story. Isaac blesses Jacob. Isaac blesses Jacob. Now, Isaac in this particular text is preparing for death. He is preparing to go the way of the grave, and he knows it. And so he orders and commissions the firstborn. Firstborn was Esau, right? It was Esau. So he tells Esau to go out. Rebecca hears this conversation, and so she plays a little trick and says, look, Esau's gone. Jacob, go get your stuff. Dress up like Esau. Go in there and get the blessing. Because your dad is getting ready to go the way of the earth. Your father is getting ready to depart the earth, but he's going to say something before he goes. And the something he is about to say has significance to your life. So you must do whatever it takes to get this word that your father is about to release. She identifies this word that Isaac is about to speak over Jacob. And she says, you must get it by all costs. And Jacob says, you're right. I must get it by all costs. So we pick up the story in verse 18. It says, so he went to his father and said, my father. This is Jacob going to Esau. Going to Isaac, pretending to be Esau. And he says, my father. And Isaac responds, here I am, who are you, my son? Here I am, who are you? And that's the word of the Lord right now. Here I am, God says, who are you? Who are you? What do you want? I'm right here. Who are you? What's your name? Tell me your name. Tell me who you really are. Tell me who you really are in the dark when nobody's looking at midnight. Tell me all about it. Tell me who you are. This is what Isaac is saying. Tell me your name. Just tell me who you are. Tell me. I want to know. Tell me. And he you know what? He's just like every one of us today. And, you know, I there's a lot of Esau's in church. A lot of Jacob's pretending to be Esau's in church. We will do whatever it takes, won't we? We've been taught that. We live in a culture that teaches us you have to do what you've got to do. The bills need paid, so you've got to do what you've got to do. The kingdom of heaven is suffering violence, and the violent take it by force. If that means I got to lie, steal, cheat, kick down doors, take what doesn't really belong to me, I'll do it. Because I realize that what the Father has to say over me is more important than anything else. So I got to get whatever God has to say about me. So I got to do this. And that's the kind of times we live in. Deceitful times where the kingdom of heaven is suffering violence. And so we come through there. And, who are you? I'm Esau, your firstborn. Yeah, that's me, Dad. That's who I am. I'm Esau, your firstborn. You got a blessing for me? Now, Jacob, look what Jacob realizes. Jacob realizes that what Isaac is about to say is the reality that he will become. What the Father is about to declare is going to be the reality that he walks in. He realizes that the right of the firstborn is the blessing. The right of the firstborn is the blessing. We'll get to that in a minute. I must have whatever it is the Father says about me. Say it, God. The Father is preparing to say something. Say it. I'm listening. Give me. I want to walk in the destiny of my Father's words. Don't you? I want to walk in the reality and the destiny of the Father's word over my life. Because if I don't do that, then I walk in the reality and the destiny of the enemy's deceit of my life. And then I begin to manifest what the enemy has planned for me because I failed to take my position and do whatever it takes to get this blessing of the Father. That's where we find Jacob here. He asks, who are you? And Jacob says, I'm Esau. And we're all here saying tonight, I'm Esau. Please speak a word of destiny over my life. Speak a word of destiny over my life, Father. Jacob had become what was expected of him. His father named him Trickster. And many of us, we're manifesting where the earth has said about us. You know, if we're not careful, we'll believe what the earth says about us. And then we'll begin to manifest what the earth says. We have fathers that didn't say very nice things about us, earthly fathers. But we must push through and receive what the Father says about us. Because what he says about us, there's a destiny attached to it. The significance of the blessing was this. The blessing over our lives is our identity of our lives. The blessing is the identity. You and I, if we want to know who we are, then we must know what God says over our life. Because the blessing is who we are. The blessing, listen, say it. The blessing is who I am. You are not anything else but the blessed of the Father. But you must understand and grab hold of the blessing of the Father, or else you will take a path that leads to deceit. You will take a path that leads to destruction. So we must know what the blessing over our life is. The blessing is the reality and the destiny that the Father has intended for us. And this was the blessing that he blessed him with. Genesis 27:27. He came near and he smelled the smell of his clothing and he blessed him. And he said, surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field. Which is not very endearing, is it? You smell like outside. You smell like when your dog comes in. You smell like dog. But 28 says this. Therefore, may God give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth. Look at that. May God give you the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth. When you're in need of the dew of heaven, may God give you, my son, the residue of heaven that the earth can't give. So whenever you need what the earth can't give, may God give you the dew of heaven. And may the fatness of the earth come forth for you, because you are the blessed one. You are the firstborn. And plenty of grain and wine. Translation, may your pockets be full of money all the time. May you walk around, giving money. Oh, I want you loaded. I don't want you with just a little bit of change. The blessing over your life is that provision will be with you all the days of your life. You see that? So when the doctor says that the earth has produced sickness in your body, you can say, no, the residue of heaven is available to me because the Father's word over me. Go ahead and look at it if you want. You can look it up. I can give you the destiny of my life. Go ahead, doc. You can read it. Therefore, God give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth. When nothing else happens for me on the earth, I can ask some stuff from heaven. Because I'm the blessed of the Father. And the Father's word over me has more weight than the words of man over me. The Father's word over me is truth. The word of man over me is lie. This is the truth. This is my destiny. And listen, he goes on. And nations bow down. Let people serve you. And nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren. And let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you. And blessed be those who bless you. And you're walking around with some influence. If you begin to take that as your identity, as the Father over your life, you're walking around with some influence. You're not arrogant. You're just confident. I'm not prideful. I'm just very confident and secure in who God and what He is to me. You know, that's my number one goal. I've made many mistakes as a father. I've raised, you know, four children. Well, I haven't raised them all yet, but they're on their way. But you know, those first and second, they take a thumping. Like, man, I'm sorry. You get to be older. You're like, I was broke when I had you. Confused. I didn't know who I was. You know what I mean? Like, I was just trying to figure stuff out. I'm sorry. That first one, you know. Precious comes along. I look at Precious, I go, babe, daddy got a little bit of, you know, I figured it out a little bit, Precious. And my number one desire is that as she gets older, that she has such confidence and security in the love that I give to her, that she can identify a lie a mile off. So when that lie comes to the door and asks for her, she could look at him and go, you're not it. Got a gentleman back in the West Side tells a story about how he has a daughter. She's about 16, 17 years old. And this gentleman comes to the door, and he heard the doorbell, and he walked up to the door. He opens the door. He looks at him, and the young man says, you know, his pants down, and says, hey, is so-and-so here? He said, yeah. he said he went back and sat down. He said he rang the doorbell again. He got up. He said, I told you she's here. What do you want? And he said, pull up your pants and act like, you know, began to give it to him. But that's, you know, that's God's desire over your life. That you're so secure, so confident, so full of His promises for your life, so assured of them that when the lie presents itself, it is easy to identify. You can look at that thing and go, that's not of the Lord. You are lying. You're lying. You're the snake right now. Get out of here. You can identify the lie. You know, I pray that when Precious gets older, you know, all those liars, they just, you know, and I'm gonna keep my gun in my pocket just in case. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry. No, I'm serious. Don't do that. Got a lot of guns. I feel sorry for that cat. He's going to be in trouble. The blessing is the identity of the Father to the Son. This is what you will become. Ignorance of the blessing results in confusion of identity and destiny. I'll say that again. Ignorance of the blessing results in confusion of identity and destiny. You want to see somebody confused? They're confused because they don't know. Confused because you don't know what God says over your life. You're misled because you don't know what God says over your life. But the moment you know what God says over your life is the moment you become clear and pointed in your mission and your assignment. You know, your ministry didn't just fall into your life. No, no. There was this moment where you received the word of the Lord over your life and you said, now my mission, my purpose, my assignment in life has become more clear. The clarity has come now, and now I walk in innovation. You know, the Spirit produces innovation. The new things of God come through the Spirit of God. There are no problems that the Spirit doesn't have an answer to. But to tap into the answers, there must be this walking in the newness of the Spirit of God. The Father's word over you is final. Now look at this. Look at the next time we catch up to Jacob. The next time we catch up to Jacob, he's wrestling with the Lord. He is actually in a fight with God. We catch up. The next time we find Jacob in this story, let me jump ahead a minute. I'll come back to that one. I'm talking to myself here. You don't see what I'm looking at here. So Genesis 32. Go there. Genesis 32. Jacob here. We find Jacob, and he is in a fight with God. When we left Jacob, his father said to him, "Who are you?" Then he lies and says he's Esau. Now we find him, and he's fighting with God. He's in a wrestling match with the Lord. Here's the thing. Who do we think we're kidding? You know what I mean? When the father says, "Who are you?" And then we say we're Esau, who do we think we are that we could come in here pretending to be somebody we're not in an attempt to steal something that only comes through the revelation of who God is? So we all come in pretending to be Esau, hoping to get what belongs to Esau. But the only way to get it is to fight with the Lord. Now, the next time we find Jacob, you know why? Because we want the privilege of being a son, but not the responsibility of a son, don't we? There's a difference. Yeah, there's a difference. We want the privilege of sonship, but we don't want the responsibility. This is the church, ain't it? We want the privilege of his sonship. Because we realize if we get what he says, there's going to be no problems. We are undefeatable. There's no circumstance that can come upon us. It doesn't matter if it's sickness, peril. Doesn't matter. Because we realize that if we get the privilege of being his son, that there's nothing that we can't. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. There's not one thing we can't overcome. But what we don't want, What we tend to ignore, is the responsibility of sonship. Now look, I have some sons. They get the privilege of sonship. The other day I got in my son's Jeep, I'm driving down the road, and I realize that he has broken this lovely car that I have given him. I'm shifting gears, and the gear shifter comes off in my hand. It's raining. I go to turn on the windshield wipers, and there are none. I can't see anything. I go to open the door, and the door latch is broke. What has this boy done with this gift of his father? I turn on the car, and there's no gas in it. Now, isn't that something? I mean, you don't even have to pay for the gas. All you have to do is put the gas in the car with your daddy's money. And that's something, ain't it, John? Like, really? Really? Like, you don't have to pay for it. It's not like it's your money. You just have to make sure the car has gas in it. We like that in the spirit. We want the privileges, and we'll take advantage of the privileges, but we don't want to be responsible for that which God has given us. God has given us so much. But if God was to get in our car, if God was to get in our life and drive it around for a little bit, would he find some things in disrepair? That's the question. Would he get inside of our lives and say, man, your door's broke. You don't have any gas. It's not even like you got to pay for any of this stuff. All you have to do is maintenance it. I'm just asking you to be responsible enough to maintenance all the blessings that I've bestowed upon you. That's all you've got to do, son. Just maintenance them. You don't even have to pay for them. Just I'll pay for them. You just maintenance it. You just be disciplined enough to maintenance it. I've already cut the check. It's yours. You can have it. You just have to be disciplined enough to maintenance the blessings that I've given you. You have to be, you can't just take the privileges of being my son. You have to be responsible as my son. You know, that's God's word to his church today. That's God's words to the, you know, the mega pastors that fall because of moral failure. You wanted all the blessing of the Father, but you failed to be responsible son of your Father. And because you did, your nakedness is revealed to the earth. You know, it's sowing and reaping. So there are responsibilities that we must pay attention to as sons. I had somebody come up the other day, you know, I want, how do I say this without incriminating myself? I want Pastor to be more like a father to me. Yeah? Let me ask you a question. Just ask you a question. If that's what you want, be careful. Because I'm a son. You know? And I find myself doing things like roofing buildings that are the size of football fields. I'm spreading tar on pavement the size of 6 football fields. Because I can't just have the privileges of being a son without the responsibility of being a son. So if you want the privilege of sonship, then you have to be willing to pay the price and the responsibility of that sonship. So what is it? So when he woke up that morning, did he call you to shovel the snowdrift out of the front of his house? Because that's what sons do. Sons don't get paid. Huh? Sons don't get paid. You know, Troy, can you come? And Pastor Tina, she can. Matt, one time I was driving down the road and I saw Pastor Tina, and God bless her. I was glad I wasn't in her car that day. She drives that little convertible, you know, it was in the summer, and she was squished up against the side of the car, and it was all this stuff, and she could barely move, and she was going. I thought, thank you, Jesus, I'm going in the other direction. We was going down the road one time. We was working at the church. I forget what we was planting grass or something. We saw this old busted up couch. The funniest thing. I said, hey Lou, I'm surprised Ma didn't call us to pick that thing up today yet. Because if she drove by, she'd have saw it. I'm surprised she didn't call us. We was in line getting coffee and the phone rang. She said, hey Lou, I just saw a couch. Can you guys pick it up on the way back? Got me out here picking up garbage. We backed that truck in there. Man, pick up some garbage, man. Throw it in the garbage picking. But I'm a son. My mom calls me to pick up garbage. I go pick up garbage. You know, Father, I want to be your son. If you tell me, whatever you tell me to do, I'll do it. You know, I got this revelation when I was in Israel. We were on the Sea of Galilee. And it just became so real. We're on that boat. And he said, cast your nets on the other side. And Peter says, I'll do it because you say so. I'll do it because you say so, God. Because I'm your son. Because you say so, I will do it. Just because you say so. You know, we tell our children that. Don't ask me why. I need to tell you why. Just do what I say. Because you say so. I'll do it because I'm your son. Because he says so. What are we willing to take the privilege and the responsibility of sonship? But are we just trying to steal what can't be stolen from God? Because God will not allow us to steal another's identity to receive the benefits. We can't fake it. We can't fake it. There's no faking it with God. And the next time we find Jacob, he is fighting with God. He's in a fight match with God. Could you imagine that? It's like fighting with the Lord. And look at the conversation that Jacob has with the Lord. Go there. Genesis 32, 25 to 30. He said, "Now, when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip. And the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, 'Let me go, for the day breaks.' But he said, 'I will not let you go until you.'" Now, wait a minute. I thought he already took this blessing from his father. You can't steal it. The blessing and the identity that you search for cannot be stolen. It only comes through fighting with the Lord. It only comes when you resolve inside of yourself that I'm going to get what I got coming to me. And Jacob decides, I'm going to fight with you till you give me what I know I need. And he said, what? And look at what he says. Look at what this angel of the Lord says to Jacob. The last time Jacob was asked this question, he was asked it by his father and he lied. Now he's fighting with the Lord and the Lord says, "What is your name? Who are you? Tell me. I want to hear you say it. Don't you try to lie to me. I'm not your daddy on the earth. I'm your daddy from heaven. You tell me who you are." Who are you, Jacob? You liar, you trickster, you deceitful, manipulating, get what you who are you? Tell me who you are. Say it out loud. I want to hear you say it. He says, "What's your name?" And he says, look at what he says. This time he cannot lie. He says, "My name is Jacob." Next verse. And he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed." The identity does not come until you are ready to fight for it. You will know you have attained the blessing when your walk changes. When your walk changes. My nephew Dominic went away to Israel, he went away to Haiti for 6 months. And when he came back, there was something noticeably different about him. Noticeably. Those who knew him before can look at him and say, your walk is different. Because you went away and you've wrestled with the Lord. And when you fight with the Lord, you kind of walk different. I mean, you don't get out of a scrap with the Lord, you know, without a couple of bruises. You know what I mean? Yeah, I'm good. What happened? I was in a fight. I was fighting with the Lord. Now, here's the thing. Nobody can fight for you, for your blessing. As much as I love you all, you know, John, I love you, but you're going to get in a fight with God, and I can't help you. Look, you get in a fight with anybody else, you call me, I got your back. But if you're fighting, that's your fight. You think about it, you're trying to jump on God. Just kind of throw a kick at him. Wow! It's your fight. Your identity is your fight. If you want it, if you want the blessing of the Lord, it doesn't come easy because the kingdom suffers violence. The only way you're going to get it is by fighting with the Lord. You can't get your blessing simply by lying and stealing and cheating. It will evade you as long as you live. It won't come to you. The only way it will come with you is when you get down and dirty and say, let's get it on, God. And I'm not letting, we're going to get down and I'm not letting go of you until you give me what I know I need to make it in this world, until you satisfy my spirit with what you're saying over my life. I'm not letting you go. I don't care what happens. You can kill me if you want, but I'm not walking away from this place until you heal me, or until you give me the words of life, until you take care of this or take care of that. We're going to fight tonight. That's the only way to get your identity straight. And we're messing with a generation that's so confused, so distorted, so unaware of what God says over their life. And we're messing around with them and telling them this and telling them that and giving them all these soft prescriptions and, oh, just Jesus loves you. And, oh, he just wants to, and you know, God loves you. He just wants to bless you. And he just wants to put, my mama always said, if you just love, it's nonsense. It's nonsense. Some of y'all got it. It's nonsense. The gospel is hard. I tell this generation, you know how this generation likes their Jesus? How I used to like my Jack Daniels. Straight up, give it to me. I don't want no chasers. Punch me in the mouth with it. Just go ahead and give it to me hard. I want it now. I want it fast. I want it the way it's supposed to be. I don't need no easy way. Don't you lie to me and tell me it's raining. Somebody said, don't you pee on me and tell me it's raining. Don't you dare do that. Don't you dare do that. Tell me the truth. And the truth is this. The gospel will cost you everything. People say, I got a problem giving the Lord 10% of my increase. Well, I got news for you. He wants your whole life, not just 10% of your dollars, not just a dime of every dollar. God wants it all. He's not looking for just a little bit. You think that dime is what God's after? God's after all of you. And let me just set you straight. He's not just after your heart, neither. He's after your heart and everything else that's attached to your heart. He wants your eyes, he wants your ears, he wants your mouth, he wants your hands, he wants your feet. He wants it all. You know, just give Jesus your heart. We need to start saying, hey, Jesus wants your feet and your hands. Jesus needs your money too. He needs you to be faithful in your ministry. He needs you to walk faithful in your calling. Jesus needs your butt too. Your seat don't need your butt. Jesus needs your butt. Because we're warming a seat when we should be moving our feet. That's hard, right? I know. I'm sorry out there who's watching my internet. But that's the truth. You know, the truth is Jesus wants all of you. He wants your children. He wants your marriage. He wants to be able to whisper to you and your ear hear it when he says, give this and that and take your car and give it to the person sitting right next to you. Amen. but we don't want to hear that. We want to hear that. We want to come in here and sneak. We want to come in here and just sneak in. I'm Esau. Yes, I'm the firstborn. Just appease my conscience for about an hour. Then I'll leave here. I'll go another 7 days and I'll come back in. You could do it again. I'll pretend and you pretend and we're all good. Don't you lie to me. I'll lie to you. Everything will be straight. But you know, Jacob finds himself wrestling with the Lord and there's no lying at this point. He says, who are you? He said, okay, you know, my name is Jacob. Your name is no longer Jacob. Your name is Israel. Now watch this. Israel. Israel means this. One who fights with God and wins. One who fights with God and wins. One who reigns with God. Now, I just want you to consider for one moment what the Lord called Jacob as he wrestled with him. He asked him the question his father asked him, and he revealed the truth. My name is Jacob. He said, no, okay, because you've done this, because you've approached me sincerely with humility and honesty and travail, now watch what I'm going to do. I'm going to change your name, and I'm going to change your name to an entire nation. An entire nation now is going to become yours because you have been faithful to travail with me over what I say about your life. He calls him a nation. You know, when you and I begin to understand what the Lord says about our life, nations will begin to bow their knee at what we say. The United States of America will begin to shift at the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God when we begin to realize who we are. Now consider, he calls him Israel. Do you realize that Jacob, in the loins of Jacob, through Isaac, is the release of the sons of God? You know, every time that God was trying to get the lineage to Abraham and the promise to Abraham, he said, look, Abraham, look up there, the stars, walk around in the earth. I want you to see what I'm about to give you. I want you to feel it. I want you to smell it. Walk around this place. Behold that what is about to manifest. And the enemy was resisting the word of the Lord over Abraham. He was resisting it. So every time a matriarch would begin to give birth to the seed of Abraham, it would be resisted with barrenness, right? So every one of the matriarchs of Abraham were met with resistance to the seed of Abraham. It resisted the word of the Lord, the identity, the blessing of the Lord over Abraham. The earth resisted it. The enemy of the Lord resisted it. And barrenness was there. And they had the travail to release the seed. And then suddenly Jacob is released. And when Jacob released, look what's happened. He is released, and out of Jacob comes the 12 tribes of Israel. Suddenly there's a supernatural release of the sons of God in Jacob. What took them so long is released now in Jacob. And when it was released now in Jacob, his name is changed to Israel. Because nations come. Nations will come when you and I aren't afraid of who he made us to be. Nations will bow down. At our worship, nations will bow down. The music industry won't look to them. They'll look to you. When we become who he created us to be. Psychologists and sociologists say that 86% of success comes from being. Being who God made you to be. So if you are comfortable being who God made you to be, you're 86% more likely to be successful. But if you're insecure and don't know and walk around timid, you probably won't be successful. Do you see that? Do you see the seed of God released inside of man? When you're comfortable, when you're confident in who God made you to be, pow, success follows you. Follows you. And the earth will, they're successful. He changes his name to Israel and has a national impact. You affect the nation, supernatural release of the sons of God. Matthew 16, 13 and 19 says this. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said to him, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah and Jeremiah and one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered him, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Look at what he called him. Simon Bar-Jonah. He calls him by a name that used to be. He calls him by what he used to be, right? Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. The earth cannot reveal to you who you are, is what Jesus is saying. Heaven, flesh and blood is not revealing to you this Simon Bar-Jonah. Calls him by his daddy's name. The earth can't. This revelation doesn't come. Who you are doesn't come through the earth. But it comes through heaven. The Father. The Father. My Father has revealed this to you. And look what he says. And I say to you that you are, look at what he calls him. And I say to you that you are
Peter. You see that? He called him Simon, called him by his daddy's name. Now he's calling him Peter. You are Peter. And on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Peter, because you receive what the Father says over you, you will not be able. Hell can't beat you. It doesn't matter what hell lays against you. It won't prosper. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, because you have received the word of the Father. Because you've received it, the gates of hell can't prevail against you. Your name is Peter. Son, he shows you the name change. Your name is Peter. Nothing you do will fail. The enemy will try his hardest to prevent you, but he can't. He can't beat you. When you realize what the Father says about you, because flesh and blood can't reveal who you are. Hollywood can't reveal it. Your mom and dad can't reveal it. Music industry, they can't reveal it. Only heaven, only the Father can reveal who you are. The revealing of Christ reveals your identity. Tonight, we're in for a fight. Our identity will serve our nation in one of three ways. I'm going to close with this. Realizing your identity will serve your nation. Not just, you know, in your national impact. You know, that's hard to understand, isn't it? That you, everybody say it, I have a national ministry. I have a national ministry. You see that? Your name is not Jacob any longer. Your name is Israel. And because it's Israel, you affect nations. You don't just affect measly old northeastern Ohio. Not just your family. Not just your children. You have a national impact. Your vision must grow with the Father. You have now a national impact. And when you reveal your identity, when your identity is revealed to you, it will affect your nation in one of three ways. It will either reflect, it will neglect, or it will affect. When the nation, when your culture looks back at you, it will either reflect what they already are. You know what Oprah needs? Oprah needs somebody to sit in that chair and look back at her and say, "You don't intimidate me, and you're not gonna, you don't see you in me. You see the Father in me, what the Father has said in me." And then look her square in the eye and tell her the truth. That's what she needs. But you know, every time somebody sits down across from Oprah, for some reason, because she got a little bit of change, a little bit, they're afraid and intimidated to reveal who he is and what he says. And so they start moonwalking, Jack. They just start, "Whoa, don't ask me that question," as if you should have been prepared, you know? I just want a preacher to go on TV and be a little bit prepared. You know they're going to ask you about being gay. So just have a coherent, intelligible answer for once. If you're out there and you're getting ready to be interviewed by somebody in CNN, please just know they're going to ask you about being gay. And you know what? I'll give you a hint. Just tell them that sexuality is sacred. Just say that and shut up. But you know, they don't need to look at you and see a reflection of themselves. And if they're looking at you and they don't feel uncomfortable and convicted about themselves, you're reflecting your culture already. You are Hophni and Phinehas, the Eli sons, you know, the priests that, and they were, read that, this in 1 Samuel. They were reflecting their culture. Or secondly, you're going to get a plane ticket and get up out of here. Like Jonah did. You're going to neglect your culture, your nation. You're going to neglect them. You see this all the time. People just are abandoning ship. People just saying, "This is too rough. I'm out of here." And that's what Jonah did. Jonah said, "Look, I don't, I, this is too much, God. You know what's about to happen. You know all things. And I'm out of here. I don't want anything to do with this. I'm leaving these guys. I'm getting out of here. And Jonah paid the fare of the boat to get himself out of there. That means everybody that was taking that plane ride, that boat ride, he paid for the entire thing. He said, look, I'll pay for your stuff. Just let's go. Hurry up. The Lord wants me to go there. I don't want to go there. Let's go. Neglect. And we neglect our culture when we do this. When we shut all the doors and have a little party that's exclusive to just us. That is the most neglectful thing that we as the church can ever do to the nation, is to make the gospel exclusive to us. And Pastor's message a week ago was so profound. This message is beginning to shift. It's not going to be about us anymore. It's going to be about them. And so we've got to make a transition. We've got to go from here to where he is. And the worst injustice we could do would be to neglect this culture. To hoard ourselves in. Let's create gated communities. Make Christian clothing. Sing Christian music. Nothing wrong with that. But let's just create a world and a bubble that we live in that is self-serving, like the Dead Sea. That gives out nothing but takes everything. Gives nothing but takes it all. So full of minerals and life that it's toxic. It's a time when we get there. Where we take in everything. We become so exclusive that we become toxic to the people we're supposed to give life to. Or third, we become leaven and we affect this nation. Leaven in Matthew 13. You know the story of the leaven, where she puts it in the meal. It causes a rising effect to the meal. Funny how leaven is silent. It's secret and it's steady. Leaven is silent. It doesn't need to announce that it's there. Look, y'all, we don't need to go into the grocery store and just, you know, hey, everybody just wants you to know. You don't need to do that. You know, hey, if you were to die today, would you go to heaven? No, you don't need to do that. You don't need to do that. I mean, you know, there might be a time when Jesus has you do that. But for the most part, Jesus came to his disciples relationally. And it was a wheel within a wheel. And he changed Rome from the inside out. Right? And so it's silent. It kind of sneaks in on you. And it's steady. It's steady. It's consistent. It stays the course. This rising effect of leaven. It doesn't matter. It doesn't come one week and off the next. It doesn't backslide, upslide. This week, no. This week, good. No. It's not like that. Leaven's leaven. It's in there, baby. It's just gonna begin to create a rising effect in that substance. It's going to cause everything around it to rise up. It's steady. And it's secret. And silent. It just does it. It creates this rising effect. The whole loaf is brought under its influence. Everything is brought under its influence. Put your Bible aside. As we close tonight, I would like to do this. I would like to just allow the atmosphere to be conducive to the speaking of blessing tonight. I know that many have to go. And the ushers are going to receive the offering on the way out. Thank you for your faithful giving. But if somebody could come and play something nice for Jesus. And so, if you could just stand to your feet with me this evening. This is how I'd like to close. That tonight we would allow the Lord to wrestle with us. That we would actually enter into and engage with the Lord tonight. Have a fight with him. Don't start swinging. But I'm saying lock up with God tonight over what he says about your life. Because chances are, there's an enemy that's been lying to you all week. Whispering this, whispering that. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. And sometimes you get a little confused, you know. You're like, ah. And then you find yourself wavering in between. Worry. Concern. God, what if? What if? What if this doesn't happen? What if that doesn't happen? Tonight, just take a few seconds here as we close. Just lock up with the Lord and begin to fight for the blessing. So just close your eyes right there where you're at. Allow the Lord to speak to you tonight. Your name is not Jacob. Your name is Israel. The Lord is speaking over you tonight. Words of life. Words of healing. Words of provision. He's declaring tonight truth over your life. Your name is Israel. You have such influence in the earth. He's declaring tonight to walk confidently in what he's spoken over you. Be bold and courageous in the thing for which he sent you to do. Move with efficiency towards the goal of the Lord for your life. And in this atmosphere, we bind all form of sickness and disease, because that's not the blessing of the Lord. That is a lie from the enemy. We come against it now and we replace it with the healing virtue of Jesus Christ. That by your stripes, Jesus, you said, we are healed. You said we are the healed of the Lord. So we bind cancer and tumors. We bind all tumors. We declare that that is not the word of our Father over our lives. We come against debt. We come against it. That is not the word of the Lord over our life. You said we would have plenty. Your word says we would have plenty, God. We speak provision into our lives today. Tonight, God, your word over us is, Lord, you have provision. You are providing supernaturally for your children. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, now that fear is gone. That fear to be who God made you to be is gone. That is broken now in Jesus' name. The enemy attempting to get you to believe somehow, some way, the world needs to affirm who you are. When God is declaring, this is who I made you to be, you can be confident in me. Trust in me. God, now healing all form of neglect and abuse from your past. Healing, God, now. Your word of us is healing, God. Healing the pain of our heart from hurtful words that were spoken over our lives, that were lies, God. That's not your blessing over our life. We release, God, tonight, your word that's active and energized over our life. Declare, Jesus, all of the promises are ours. Tonight, Lord, we realize that there is a remedy for our identity confusion. It's your word. Your word is the remedy that brings clarity. Bless you tonight and thank you for this time. Now, Lord, if there be any in here that don't know you, that have not given their entire life to you, all of their life to you, Lord, that they would surrender right now. Surrender right now. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That they will call upon the name of the Lord now and be rescued. We thank you for this time together this evening, Lord. We bless you. And together, if I could get you to do this, just say this with me. My name is Israel. Say it again. Say it again. Now, every time the enemy comes to you and begins to try to lie to you and tell you that you're that person, you just tell him, no, no, God has changed my name. My name is, that's my name. I walk in the blessing of Israel. I affect the nations. I walk in the prosperity and the provision and the dew of heaven belongs to me. The fatness of the earth comes up for me. My brothers, they bow to me. Amen? That's what you tell the enemy when he lies to you. The ushers are going to receive the offering on the way out. If I can get some altar workers to come up, if you need some more prayer, or maybe you want to linger in this atmosphere and get some just some more word of the Lord spoken of you, if I can get the altar ministers to come and come quickly. If you need prayer, please come. If you gave your life to the Lord and you know you did tonight, there's some things we want to give you before you go. Hey, live right, love everybody, pray hard. God bless you as you go tonight. If you need prayer, you can come now.